It's Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.
Without hearing anything else, you can probably guess the content of this next segment. That music sets the stage for what takes place a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. It is, of course, John Williams' score for the movie Star Wars.
Williams has, in fact, scored all 7 Star Wars films and is on task for the 2 to come, making the music as much of a character as Lando Calrissian or, you know, Darth Vader.
One man who has studied this music as closely as anyone is Aaron Kadovich. Kadovich's unlikely title is actually professional Beatles scholar. He joined us in the studio and explained how he turned his critical ear from the Fab Four to the Force.
Well, my background is as a classical composer and music theorist. You know, when I was in college, I studied all the classical artists, you know, Mozart, Beethoven, Bach. And so I have a strong background in orchestral classical music. And more recently, I've gotten into popular music, mostly the Beatles, you know, rock band kind of stuff. And John Williams, who has long appealed to me, he's one of the reasons I became a musician. He and Weird Al Yankovic, actually, are probably my two. I would not be where I was without Weird Al and John Williams. Anyway,
it's a good balance.
It's a good balance. I've always had an appeal for that kind of style, classical music, that ultra-romantic orchestral music. And after I did several of these Beatles things, I thought, well, why not go back to my roots, you know, back to the music that I grew up listening to that inspired me to become a musician and apply the same analytic perspective to John Williams' movie music. And, of course, what music that Williams has written, what could be more iconic than Star Wars?
Absolutely. That's what people often go to firsthand,
right,
compared to the Superman theme or E.T. or a multitude of other film scores, of
Indeed.
Course. So with going through Star Wars, we, of course, have the classic trilogy, starting with Episode 4, A New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
And he spans his musical influence now across, let's see, there's 6 plus 7. We have an 8th coming,
yep.
A 9th.
they've started working on the 8th already from what I've read.
Exactly. But before we go into the specific themes that we know from those movies, what influenced John Williams as a composer? Because he has such a distinct style that people can recognize even if they don't know the name of the song.
Yep.
But what did he draw from to influence his compositions?
Sure. Yeah, I cite 3 major influences in my presentation. The first is Richard Wagner, 19th century German opera composer. And Wagner uses what are known as leitmotifs, what we today would call themes. The technical German term is leitmotif. So in Wagner's Ring trilogy, of course, you know, Wotan and the gods, the Norse gods, Siegfried has his theme. The Valkyries is most famous. Dum dum ba dum bum 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 ba dum bum. So all of these themes, all of these leitmotifs, and as the characters interact on the stage, this is an opera, so it's all stage. As the characters interact on stage, so too their themes interact in the orchestra, in the music. And Williams does the same thing. He writes themes for all the characters. Darth Vader has Imperial March. Yoda has his theme. Luke and Leia's theme. Han Solo and the Princess. You know, all these different themes and little musical motives that John Williams incorporates into Star Wars have narrative functions. So when characters interact on screen, so too their themes interact in the soundtrack. And so what the fundamental gist is using these themes allows the music to help tell the story. So we're perceiving the story not only with our eyes, but also with our ears.
And that is an interesting point, that it adds a narrative, because when people often go to a movie theater, perhaps the music score is an afterthought.
Often.
It's adding to a battle scene, it adds to the intensity or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But unless someone's a real musical enthusiast and listens to these soundtracks outside of a movie on their own. Yeah, where they're really taking the time to do that and to appreciate and to see the complexities, you know, much like how sound effects are mixed in post-production.
Yep.
Music plays such an essential quality to that.
Mm-hmm. And there's not always much difference between sound effect and music. You know, where does that line stop? Where does it stop being a sound effect and become music, or vice versa? It's very nebulous. But I've often heard film composers, including Williams, I remember an interview with him where he said, you know, the best scores aren't consciously heard. They're just taken as part of the film. And it's the same with sound effects. You don't think, oh, that's a sound effect of a door closing. You just see the door close, you hear the sound effect, and it makes perfect sense. It's completely artificial, but we perceive it as real.
Exactly. But with Star Wars, there is one thing that is very indicative of the movie you're about to watch that is completely separate of any action that's happening. And of course, it's because it's before any shots are opening, but it's the Star Wars theme.
Oh, yes.
Of course, anyone will recognize this theme. And it's very heroic in nature, but what elements are also found in Williams' other hero themes? I mean, was Star Wars really the biggest first culmination of the hero theme, or is it drawn upon some other things?
Oh, yeah. Well, once again, Wagner. In my presentation, I cite Siegfried's theme from Wagner's Ring Cycle, which is probably most famous for use in the Bugs Bunny cartoon Killed a Wabbit, because Elmer Fudd goes after Bugs Bunny and he pops out of his hole and says, what's up, Doc, or whatever he says, his classic lines. And in the background, we hear Siegfried's theme, bum bum ba dum bum 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 bum. And so throughout the Ring Cycle, the operas, whenever you see Siegfried, he's the hero of the entire thing. Whenever you see him, you hear Siegfried's theme. And so when we see Bugs in the cartoon, we see Siegfried's theme, or we hear Siegfried's theme, because Bugs is the hero of the cartoon. Anyway, it shares. I won't go into all the technical details because, well, they're technical. But Williams, I think, clearly models the Star Wars theme on Siegfried's theme. The notes that he chooses and the heroic nature of Siegfried's theme, John Williams reprises in the Star Wars main theme.
Now, the Force theme is also one of the better known that I think of as more intertwined in all the movies, whether it's a particular triumphant moment or a thoughtful moment. Just, it's one of those that is easily shifted in tempo or to the degree according to the scene. Mm-hmm. But are there common similarities between the main theme and the Force theme, or are they made to be distinct?
A little bit of both. Yeah, there's all sorts of commentary online. A lot of my ideas are partially grounded in like online chat room forums and things like that. And what's funny is a lot of people I can tell aren't musicians. They put forth all these theories, and it's like, yeah, you're not a musician, are you? I can tell. Anyway, so I've read many of those forums that say, yeah, the Force theme and the main theme are very similar, and I kind of buy that to a certain extent, but I kind of don't. They're similarly heroic. They're both. This is a space opera. It's a space odyssey, and an epic. And so the main theme and the Force theme, being probably the two most important in the entire Star Wars sound universe, are both heroic themes. That being said, there are significant differences. Like the main theme is in a major key, the Force theme is in a minor key. The Force theme has a certain mystery to it, a mysticism and magical character to it, where the main theme is much more heroic. Not always, but usually. So, yes, there are similarities, but there are just as many differences. So they are related, but not as strongly as other themes are related.
And with the main theme and the Force theme, we have the main introductions for those songs in A New Hope that we see present in all the Star Wars movies. Another one definitely alluded to in the prequels and definitely at the episode 3 is the infamous Imperial March. People will know or recognize also as Darth Vader's theme.
Well, what's really interesting, slight thing that I need to add there, is that it's not heard in all the films. It's not heard in the original, but it's heard in all the others. So A New Hope never once has Darth Vader's theme.
Really?
And then starting in Empire Strikes Back and every subsequent film, in terms of production, not chronology, but every other film does incorporate Imperial March. And in my presentation, I talk a lot about that because in the first film, Darth Vader isn't necessarily the head bad guy, right? He's not strong enough of a character to warrant his own theme. That's the bottom line. Sorry, Vader, but you're just not powerful enough in the first film to warrant your own theme. Well, by the second film, he is. In Empire Strikes Back, Darth Vader is the winner of the film. Not only is he a strong character, he's the guy who comes out on top by the end of the film, right? It's not Luke. He gets his hand chopped off. It's not Han. He gets thrown into carbonite. Everything's going horrible for everyone except Vader. Vader is the winner of the film. And so Imperial March has to be the single most important musical contribution to Empire Strikes Back. But we never hear it in the first film because Darth Vader's just not strong enough of a character. He's not the head bad guy the way he is in Empire. And so something happens between the first two films, and Darth Vader starts climbing the galactic corporate ladder, and Williams rewards that type of promotion by giving him his own theme.
then on the other end of the spectrum, away from marches, we have the Sith theme, which is a far reduced pace, more ominous, a little more, I mean, not quite dissonant, but it's
uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of jarring, and we bring in more choral elements and things like that.
Yes.
And Williams kind of brings these back in the prequels to really show the rise of the Sith. But for that to be introduced in Return of the Jedi, what kind of significance did that have?
Well, it's so fascinating comparing and contrasting Vader's Imperial March with Emperor Palpatine's Sith theme. So Imperial March, dum 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 da dum dum da dum. Everybody knows that one. The Sith theme is less well known, and I think one reason is because it's such a quiet piece of music. You know, Vader's Imperial March is in your face. Like, you can't listen to Empire and not notice Imperial March. But you can listen to Jedi without noticing the Sith theme. And it's dum bum bum. It doesn't have that upfront aggressive bite the way Vader's theme does. But it does have that power. It's just beneath the surface. And throughout the film, the only time we hear that theme played loudly is the scene where Palpatine uses his Force lightning on Luke Skywalker. And then it's not sung by male choir, and it's instead played by brass, you know, trumpets and trombones. So when the character flashes his strength visually, so too the music flashes its strength.
That kind of brings it back to the prequel trilogy, where the Sith are a major theme, are major characters. And perhaps with whatever anyone wants to say about the quality of the prequels, no one can deny that they will recognize the music of Duel of the Fates from Phantom Menace.
Indeed, the way Imperial March is the main contribution to Empire, Duel of the Fates is the main contribution to the Phantom Menace. And the choral forces are foreshadowing what's to come. It's the first major use of choral singing. So in Jedi, the Sith theme, you get choral forces, but it's probably 12 to 15 men, you know, low voices. Whereas in Duel of the Fates, it's probably 120-person mixed voice ensemble. And of course, when you do that, then you have to give them lyrics. You have to tell them something to say. It's something you don't have to worry about as a composer if you're writing for violins. But with a choir, you have to give them something to sing. So for Duel of the Fates, he uses a full mixed orchestra, and he has to give them lyrics. And he comes up with Sanskrit translation of a poem. And that gives him these great choral vowels, like Kora, Mata, Ratama, Yuda, Danya. Those types of syllables fit wonderfully for a choir to sing. And there's a quote that I have in my slideshow that I'll talk about in the presentation, where he says he wants to give the sense of being in a big temple. And those Sanskrit vowels, those combined with the choir and orchestra, really gives that sense of being in a temple, that ritualistic, it's almost like a religious kind of experience. And that's why he uses choirs, to give that quasi-religious temple experience.
Now, with Attack of the Clones, we have the introduction of Anakin and Padme's love story, which wasn't, you know, we had Han and Leia's theme, but it's still not a major precipice of the story. But here it is in the prequels, especially. It is about the love story. And with that is the theme Across the Stars. So what was the inspiration for that? And including the title, many perhaps old English studies people would recognize it.
I suspect, I've never found a quote from John Williams saying this explicitly, but I suspect it's a reference to Shakespeare, because the opening prologue to Romeo and Juliet has a reference, you know, a pair of star-crossed lovers take their life. And so the theme of forbidden love that Shakespeare wrote about, you know, in the 1600s, is the same theme of forbidden love explored in Across the Stars in episode 2, Attack of the Clones. And so he's kind of reprising that. He's bringing back that theme of forbidden love with a title that references Shakespeare.
Now, I was really surprised and fascinated to find that it has astounding similarity to the Hook theme, almost to the T. I mean, very different situations, films, you know, it's possibly more opposite ends of the spectrum than you could find. But when you listen to the Hook theme, that's across the start.
It is, yeah. The prologue to Hook, which John Williams composed in 1991. This is the film. Dustin Hoffman plays the title character Hook. Robin Williams plays Peter Pan. And so Williams scored that in the early 90s. And then a decade later with Across the Stars, he again borrows the pitches. Now, rhythms, character, tempo, instrumentation, all of that is completely different. But the pitches are practically identical. Not 100%. But probably about 98%.
Well, I suppose it's good that he's copywriting himself, essentially.
Well, he's notorious, and you know, if you had asked me 15 years ago, I would have called John Williams a musical kleptomaniac because he steals everything. Having studied this music extensively and spoken on it all over the country, I still think that he steals a great deal, but I don't really have a problem with it. Because for everything he takes from other people, he adds 40 new things that he didn't steal from other people. And there's a famous quote from Igor Stravinsky, the modernist orchestral composer. He said, "Good composers borrow, great composers steal." And by that method of judgment, you'd have to call John Williams absolutely a great composer.
Exactly. But I find comfort in the new movies. I mean, even though we may not know how they will be stylistically, we do find comfort in that the music will be essentially Star Wars because it has his fingerprints all over it.
Oh, yeah.
And with episodes 8, 9 and all these spinoffs, I mean, the spinoffs can have different composers, but ultimately, I think they need to be mindful of a certain sense that Star Wars music carries with it. Mm-hmm. And so what do you think the inherent quality is that future Star Wars music outside of written by John Williams, you know, needs to have in order to be a believable and quality Star Wars score?
Well, I think the single most important thing is an epic quality to it because they're space odysseys, they're space operas. They have to be adventurous. So yeah, as far as other composers scoring Star Wars, we have the most recent film, of course, is Rogue One, and that was scored by Michael Giacchino. And he did a very good job, especially considering he only had 4 weeks to compose the entire thing. I mean, that Hollywood requires lightning-fast production, but that's lightning-fast by Hollywood's lightning-fast productions. And so
hyperspace.
Giacchino, that's hyperspace. yes, indeed. And so I think he did a really good job of coming up with his own themes and weaving them into what Williams had already done. I think he did a very good job. That being said, I don't include it in my Music of Star Wars presentation, mostly because it's not a John Williams score. I'm trying to focus on Williams scores in my presentation. I also, you know, it's only an hour, and at some point I have to take out something if I add something in, and I don't want to take out anything, so I neglect Giacchino's Rogue One score, and I focus just on John Williams.